My name is John, and my name is John, and we ain't turning right all podcast long. Whoa, we're going left and straight. Whoa, the podcast is great. Whoa, cruising around LA, picking up friends on the way. Well, John is my friend, and now you are my friend, and we're doing it up, and then we do it all again. Whoa, two Johns don't make a right.
I'm glad we got you, man.
Yeah, dude.
Before you leave.
Me too.
That rules.
Am I in front?
So you're in front.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, great. Here we go. Park van.
All right. Yeah, boy. This is like the back door.
Do you have something soft to put that on, John?
There's
a hat here.
Soft like a baby's butt.
I don't want to touch your stuff.
You can touch my stuff. You probably want to wash your hands. There you go.
That's fine.
Was there a layer of something over?
Yeah, that hat's seen better days.
Okay. Well,
how could you know?
It happened.
He's not precious about it.
There's also wipes down there because I have kids.
Okay, cool. And you groom yourself in this van. I've listened. I know how it goes in here.
Dude, if you want, pick a...
That's fine. I won't touch that. For the listeners, he offered me scissors. Nose-sized scissors.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. It's two Johns. Don't make a right. John, I don't know if you've heard about this. People are talking about this podcast.
I have heard about that.
It's a lot of buzz. And this one particular guy, he goes, two Johns don't make a right. Those guys are so great. They're like the Wright brothers of podcasting. Only they're not two gay twin brothers who invented airplanes in North Carolina called the Wright brothers. They're two whacked out ass Fuddruckers reinventing podcasts in a guest filled fart van that never turns right. Brothers?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That was the correct response.
Yeah, bitch.
Oh, God.
We're grinding it.
No, please.
Do you want me to turn around?
This is what we're doing.
Just turn right here. End the fucking thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friend and director of last year's best movie, Barbarian, and Whitest Kid You Know alum, and... also, Blood on the Clock Tower aficionado, Zach Kreger.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm such a fan. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for doing it.
Ever since I heard about your podcast, because Pavin at Blood on the Clock Tower was talking about it, I've gone deep.
Good.
I've listened to probably 70%, since then.
Wow.
I've really
cool.
Gone deep. Yeah, it's been great.
Any favorite episodes?
I can't say, yeah, right?
No, we don't want to.
They're all doing. No, we don't want to. Yeah, we don't want to pick
say.
Any. Home.
Yeah, that would be wrong.
Let's tell the audience what Blood on the Clock Tower is.
So
we want more people to know about this, right?
It's a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a social deduction game. Do you know about these, John?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. So a social deduction game is like, they've kind of really evolved. Like around like 2000 is when I started hearing about it. And it was usually like Mafia, right?
Mafia or Werewolf.
I love that.
Yeah, and werewolves and villagers.
Secret Hitler.
Exactly.
Game.
Somebody's bad and the whole room has to work together to identify and oust the bad person.
I love it.
Before they eliminate the good people. Blood on the Clock Tower is basically that, like, cranked up to, like, 11.
Where yeah.
There's so many roles, and there's so much, like, so many layers of deception, and people can be getting fed bad information. There's usually, like, 3 bad people and around 8 good people.
And then there's people that are giving bad information, but they don't know it. So their intention is good, but they're poisoned.
Which kind of drives
my parents with Trump.
Don't I know it, brother?
It kind of drives me crazy, some of the, like, those elements of it, where it's like, you really never know if any of the data that you have is, like, credible data. And sometimes I can get really frustrated and be like, well, then what the fuck are we even doing
here? Right, it is. It's annoying that you can be given so many things can be wrong. But, and it might be better if that was, I've thought about that, and like, it might be a better game, because basically what you're doing is like, if you know werewolf, someone's the werewolf, and then 2 other people are in cahoots with them.
Yeah.
And basically this is like, everyone's got their own little individual thing. Like, you have a little power you can do. Like, there's one person who can kill someone every night at night, and that's the main villain.
Yeah.
That's the demon. And then there are people like... the virgin and the swordsman and the soldier and all these, and you have like one power that you can exercise, and it makes it so much more exciting and keeps it. The main problem in those games is when you die, your game is over, and well, you're just drinking
sort of.
In the kitchen.
I actually think they found a pretty clever way of circumnavigating that, where, like, if you die, you get to vote one more time. You get a dead vote, which you can only use once. So you're still invested, and you still get to participate. So you still get to, like, speak up at the town meetings and, like, get in little huddles and all that stuff. So
and you can, you then have, like, the kill, like, basically at the end of the game, you can vote and put it over the, you still have power within the game.
Yeah. It's cool. They figured a lot of stuff out.
It's the nerdiest game, and it's like
super nerdy.
You have to. There's a dude who's like life is blood on the clock tower,
and that guy tends to run
Ryan.
The ship. And I think he might listen to this. So Ryan, if you're listening,
Ryan, hello. If you're listening, shout out.
But he's so good at the game that everyone just listens to what he says, and he kind of like will explain the different likely scenarios that are happening, and then people just like. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and then,
he's like the ultimate chess master, 4D chess guy, and it's kind of unfair when he plays, because it is just, he'll just be like, no, it's actually, like, he'll just know the answer. Yeah.
You know who else is like that? It's Scott Aukerman. When we had played Mafia, to the point where everyone would just kill him first.
Just to get him out.
Yeah, because he was too good.
Yeah,
well, that means he's not good, because if you're good, you hide that.
Yeah.
You hide how good you are?
You hide how good you are. You have to be like, oh, just subtly influence people.
Yeah.
Like Ryan does, apparently.
Yeah, Ryan's right out there. He's got the knowledge. But we have to have Scott Aukerman on the podcast to discuss
that. I'm surprised you guys haven't yet.
Yeah, well,
he's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy.
Not that you're not.
He's got stuff to do.
That's fine.
He's a really important guy.
He does have like four podcasts. I mean, I imagine he probably is busier than me. You know what I was going to suggest to you guys?
Yeah.
And I didn't because I was like, maybe it's in bad taste, but I was going to suggest rescheduling this to late at night and doing Skid Row, going downtown and just cruising around downtown.
Yeah?
And I was like, that would be an interesting, like, something would happen.
Well, it might
but
be.
But then I was like, I don't want to be like,
here.
Something can happen here, but.
Yeah, Hollywood's pretty.
Hollywood's
pretty
wily,
rough.
But you really up the odds of having event
right.
after dark downtown.
Oh, yeah, like.
And I was kind of interested in that. I was like, that would be on a very special Two Johns Don't Make.
Well, you know,
yeah,
people
we're
have
confronted.
Made requests for different times. We've done early morning.
I know Manzoukas did at night, right?
Yeah.
And now he wants to go later and later.
Yeah, we should do a late night one, like start at midnight or something like that. Like a midnight run. How about a midnight run?
We're coming up on a police officer. That's something.
Yeah.
This is something. I don't see what you're pointing at.
Way up there. See it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, here we go.
Right by my shakies.
Okay.
For those not in the know, downtown LA is a war zone.
It's
rough
the largest stuff. Humanitarian crisis in the Western Hemisphere. Right
yeah,
here
it might be. It might be sad. I don't know. It might be.
Well, not if we can like give stuff out. You know, like make a boon of it while we're tooling around doing a dumb podcast.
Yeah, we should go down there for charity. Yeah, it should be a podcast for charity.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like take some salads. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dales,
people
you know,
need vegetables.
You know, there was something funny. So I've there's so many things of listening to you guys over the last chunk of time that I've been like, oh my god, I can't wait to bring this up. One is that Summer's Best 2 weeks, dude.
What? You went there?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Well, my brother went there,
okay.
And I went to drop him off. So the giant slide, the sheet metal slide,
all that
stuff. So I'm very familiar. And we actually did an offshoot at my church. The Falls Church in Virginia.
Okay.
We did like
so
our own 2 week
camp. I'm from Pennsylvania. You're from Virginia.
I'm from Virginia. Yeah. And I don't remember where Summer's Best 2 weeks was located.
In Pennsylvania, Ligonier.
Yeah.
Ligonier, PA.
But I did go there.
Wait, did you? So you just went there and saw it and dropped your brother off?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you raised very Christian?
Super Christian. But like your brothers, I was also very punk rock, and at a certain point I was like, I hate this, I'm out. Also, my youth minister was a pedophile, so that was...
Oh, no!
Did
your parents find that, or did you feel the vibe?
I definitely felt the vibe.
Oh, no.
And now people know.
Oh, wow.
It was like a whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, Summer's Best 2 weeks. I mean, it's a Christian camp I went to. I started there when I was 8 years old, I think, like really young. And my brother, was a super hardcore punk and wore wear Misfits skull shirts there, and he would tell the counselors he didn't believe in God. But then
it I would have been good friends with your brother.
Yeah, but but the thing is, he kept going because the fucking camp was so fun. It was like
these water balloons are great.
Yeah,
okay,
it's like the water slide, like the whitewater rafting and everything. But it was an essentially evangelical camp.
Yeah,
where they were like, everything you do is for Jesus, and I get it, like, it's like Christianity, but it was too, like, I didn't realize at the time, it was extremely fucking hardcore.
Oh, very, yeah.
And they would do things to make you, like, they would be like, if anyone wants to accept Jesus into their heart, it was all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's always that night, like, near the second to last night, because I've been on a ton of church retreats, and I went to another super Christian camp when I was, like, 10, Camp Willow Run in North Carolina, that was, like, really intense, but, yeah, you go on these, like, 4-day, 5-day retreats, and like, you know, it's all conditioning. They have it down to like a system where they really like, they bombard these children with all this stuff. And then on the last night, they like really shift gears into like serious time.
Yeah.
And then they have you like come forward and accept Christ into your life. And it's like this big,
it is indoctrination.
People break down sobbing. I mean, it is a lot.
Yeah. And it's people break down sobbing. We'd go whitewater rafting, which at that point in my life was the funnest thing that I'd ever done.
Sure.
And it was the most incredible thing. And we'd all circle up in the rafts in the river beforehand and pray, and I'd be like, oh, can't wait till this prayer is done so we can fucking do what we came for. But it would be a long prayer, like, Father God, we thank you for these rocks, for this water, for
bless
this
these rapids,
outdoors.
Lord.
Yeah. And then like before we ate, it was like, God bless this food, best of flour, that was grain from these people.
And you're like,
skip!
Just trying to eat.
Fast forward, skip!
Meanwhile, I was just so horny the entire time, and they would like keep the girls from you until that last night, when it would be like all the girls and boys kind of mixed together.
Yeah,
and
you'd
be
feel like, the spirit,
oh,
everybody.
Yeah, oh wow, the girl I had a crush on is like there, and it was like... And then my friends who were Jewish went to Jewish camp, and they'd be like, yeah, it's a 6-week camp. It's the funnest thing I've ever done, and I fingered 4 girls.
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
oh my God! And nobody tried to change my personality.
Yeah, they all... It was all, like, kind of, like, you know, semi-about Judaism. Like, you know, we said, like, Hebrew words and stuff, but it was kind of about just fucking and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, our counselors would make out with us, and I was like, whoa, my counselors... And I had a counselor... One time it was so Christian, it was like upsetting to me, even as a like trying to be Christian kid who was like into the rapture and stuff. And he had like a come to Jesus moment with us, which was like, yeah, I was like a bad guy after college, man. Like, I was like making, you know, fucking girls and drinking, and I tried cocaine once, I tried marijuana, all this stuff that was like, oh, a normal thing that a 22-year-old person does. But he's like, then I had to dedicate my life to Christ, and like, it's just like, is that healthier? I don't know.
Dipshit. What a dumb dipshit.
That's so funny.
And like, I remember that guy, Jim, who had his throat slit. Yeah. I remember that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So this guy, Jim, who owned the camp, he started it in the 60s, was like a Christian hippie dude. And he got his throat slit by a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And on the last night of camp, every single time, they would have this bonfire. And this is not a right we're taking.
This is not a right. You're following the street.
No, following sunset from Hollywood into Silver Lake is certainly not a right.
Your nav would not say turn right onto sunset.
No.
It would say stay.
It would say stay on sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nav has the graph.
I know all about this Gemberling bullshit.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
It's annoying. We have to have Gemberling back on, too.
No.
But this guy, this guy would come up to the like campfire, at, like on the last night of camp, and being like, he didn't speak for the whole camp. And then he'd go, I was attacked by a bad man. And this is what brought him to Christ. So he'd be like, this is what brought me to Christ. And then they would like spark a fire with this magic, like electric thing. And you'd think it was magic. And all the girls would cry. And you'd be like, oh, the girl I want to make out with is crying. Maybe I should be Christian or something like that. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I don't know. Like, and my brother, I have ultra respect for him for being like, yeah, I don't fucking believe in God and stuff like that. And my mom was just like, my kids are sinful. I have to send them to...
It's interesting, you know, it built such a resentment in me, you know, as a kid. And so when I was about, you know, 14 or 15, I kind of decided, you know, what I thought about spirituality and God and stuff like that. And I you know, it was a direct reaction to all of the indoctrination that I had since I was a little kid. And I didn't really examine it until... I was like 35 and I got sober and I had to really like change my whole life and figure out a lot of fundamental things. And I had this realization at 35 that like I have this spiritual maturity of a 15-year-old. You know, I really put a pin in examining anything outside myself at that age when you should be kind of going really, you know, ham in that regard and like going exploring all kinds of stuff. I just forfeited that. So it was like not until 35 that I was like, okay, like let's like open up a little bit and like see. I still am a total agnostic. I really don't know anything, but
you're willing to examine it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's been kind of like crucial for me in the last 9 years of my life.
Yeah, I think anyone that's kind of like thoughtful and intelligent is gonna react in that way. And so I don't know. Like, yeah, it's like certain smart people are still very religious, and I guess that's, you know, I
always get surprised when I meet people who I think are smart that are like deeply, deeply Christian. Like,
yeah.
There was a little while I was hanging out with Pete Holmes a lot, and he was hanging out with that famous pastor, and I'm not, Rob Bell, I want to say his name was. Do you know who that guy is?
No.
He's like a big deal. Like, he was on Oprah. Guy. Yeah, I think he like hangs out with like Aaron Rodgers and Laird Hamilton and all these people.
He's whatever. An influencer kind of guy?
Yeah, he's like a famous priest. And I had a dinner with him once, and it was like, he was like, couldn't have been smarter, more engaging, and kind of like really, really a charming guy. But I don't know. I still am so, I think it's because of like the trauma of my youth group and all of that, where I cannot trust anybody who has the answers. I don't believe anybody.
Right.
I'm like, maybe to
my
fault.
Answers.
Okay,
well,
let's go.
John's got the answers.
No, I don't have any answers.
I mean, when it comes to turning left or right, that's, we've got that down.
Yeah,
when absolutely. It comes to believing or not believing, I don't know. Like, I guess C.S. Lewis was really, like, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, they were like, we are Christians because it's important to, like, attach ourselves to something. And we know it's all space and bullshit, but, you know, like, we attach ourselves to Christ.
But there is something to that. I read a quote from someone very intelligent, and I forget their name. And the quote is something like, when, because I think America in general has stopped going to church. Or, you know, over the last
really
50 years.
Yeah.
And the quote is something like, when a man stops believing in God, it's not that he doesn't believe in anything, it's that he will believe in everything. And that kind of explains QAnon in a weird way. You know,
that's
like,
interesting.
It's interesting, and I don't know if there's anything to it, but it kind of rings true with what's seemingly happening.
It's like everyone is in search of some sort of doctrine, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah.
And they, if
everything's in community, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I think
if
it
the
is.
Doctrine becomes community, then that's good enough for.
For me, I was harmed by a very quote unquote healthy religious community. You know,
right.
As a kid, like I was harmed by that. And so, like, even the things that I think, you know, that person probably would have categorized as, like, you know, in the good column. Yeah, pull you.
That's a good one for you right there.
We don't need that shit. I don't know where I'm going with this.
This is a driving podcast, not a fucking traffic podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
yeah, but I think it's like people have a need for community, and it becomes tribal after a second, and people... Like, yeah, and the government is religion, and so QAnon is kind of like another religion, like that people want to like say batshit things to people and have the other people go like, yeah, exactly, I know that batshit thing, like I go down that rabbit hole and kind of like, you know, gossip about people who aren't
it's
as into it or whatever. Yeah, it's like
it's something
a,
to give yourself
try.
To it. It's something that like that creates an order out of the chaos, you know, and that's like people need that.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of order out of chaos, how did you transition from acting to directing?
Oh, wow, what a wonderful transition. You know, when I was a little kid, I did not want to be a comedian. I did always want to be an actor, but more than anything, I always wanted to be a director.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was just like, ever since I was little, I wanted to be a director. And so I kind of like my career sort of followed the path of least resistance. You know, the whitest kid started because
college.
We met in college and we were like, you know, we were in the same dorm and we just hung out a lot and thought we were funny enough that maybe other people should watch us be funny.
And you were new school, right?
Correct. We were SVA.
At the SVA, right.
Yeah, School of Visual Arts.
Right.
And then, you know, and Trevor, honestly, it was just that Trevor was so good and so motivated that it was just easy to like, you know, hitch my wagon to his star and and kind of ride with him. And so it really was the Trevor Moore show, you know, mostly. And then he was so good, and I think we worked well together. I don't want to like shortchange myself.
Yeah,
but,
no, you guys were great.
Yeah, but yeah. You do need someone.
But yeah, he
motivated.
He was the engine. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And that, you know, so we did a, you know, we did a show at Pianos when Tinkle, the David Cross, Todd Berry, John Benjamin show ended.
Yes.
We took that slot. And,
wow, I didn't know that.
On Sunday, yeah. So we did a free show every Sunday night at Pianos in the Lower East Side for years.
Yeah,
amazing.
And that's how we kind of like built our body of work and kind of figured out how we were or were not funny. And then we went to Aspen and then we got the show. And so it was just kind of like a, I don't know, path of least resistance is the phrase that keeps coming to my mind. It just felt like, you know, the logical one foot in front of the other. And then from Whitest Kids, you know, then I kind of, when that ended, I did like, Trevor and I made a really bad movie together that we co-directed.
We won't talk like, about that.
We can skip that. It was a big flop commercially.
But it's interesting. But it's still interesting in your path as a person who has always wanted to be a director.
Yeah, it was like,
and
I kind of stumbled into it in a weird way.
You were probably too young for that.
I was 26.
Just, yeah,
it was
like, you can't do that. You can't, it's like,
yeah,
it's so 20, hard.
27, I can't remember.
What, if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine.
I'm happy to talk, but I don't care.
I was just wondering how that, by the way, rest in peace, Trevor Moore.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a tragedy.
Yeah.
And I'm on the brink of tears right now. I'm not going to go into it. What I was wondering is how you and Trevor, because I remember, like, talking to you guys and being like, oh, shit. Because it was still at the point where I couldn't bring myself. I was so jealous of you guys. I think I was like, fuck the Whitest Kids.
Oh, you're not alone.
Everybody like, at UCB and everything was like, who are these
let's
jerks?
Say everybody everywhere. Like,
really?
We were so hated. And I still will, like Summer of Tears, those guys, you know, like,
yeah,
I've gotten friends with Will Greenberg because we were on a show together, and he was like, we hated you.
Oh, my God,
we hated you.
You were all so good-looking, and you didn't, like, we were like, let's get the costumes to make our sketches really work. We'll get the cool costumes, and the Whitest Kids, you know, were like, no, we barely even fucking
we
try.
We don't try anything.
And we're better than you.
Props,
and it's like,
why would we ever bring anything to a show that requires an ounce of effort?
Exactly.
We were so lazy.
No, but the writing was lazy.
No, like, we worked really hard.
The writing wasn't lazy, but you guys would do a sketch about Abraham Lincoln and be like, I'm Abraham Lincoln, or whatever.
Sometimes we'd bring up the lights and be like, okay, we're in a theater, I'm this, and he's a woman. Here we go. Okay, lights down.
Yeah, you know? And it was so perfect for that little mini time in New York, because everyone at UCB was like, I was like, why shouldn't I have dressed like a police officer if I'm playing a police, or whatever, you know, or like very kind of. And then we ended up like, we ended up like being friends. And I was like, oh, these guys are funny. They're not just, because we were like, these guys are a false flag. Otherwise, they'd
be a false flag.
Like,
they're not even real.
And then you went to Aspen and it was so jealous of you that I was just like, oh my God.
Well, remember we did a band together. So,
this was way after that.
Death by Ruru and Cracked Out and the Whitest Kids You Know formed a super group where we all got together and we did like 5 shows. Death by Cracked Kids. And the goal, it was at Rafifi, and the goal of those shows was to be as offensive as possible.
Yeah, yeah, which
and,
we managed.
And we did
to
a good
be.
Job. And Sam Shepard came to one of the shows, remember?
Right,
that?
This is a crazy story for me, man, because and we. So that
you tried
was.
Tried to fuck your. Girl?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that okay
this...
to say?
No, yeah, yeah. I was going
to
say.
Sam Shepard, I guess he's not here to defend himself.
I was absolutely going to say this, but.
People who would hit on everybody.
Yeah,
from
that's
what you
fine.
Read.
Yeah, well, he, well, okay, yeah, so this was way after that, like, the period of me being like, oh, fuck the Whitest Kids. Then I was like, okay, they're funny. And then I was like, oh, they're nice. Oh, they had me do their show. Okay, they're just in, they're comedians that I like or whatever. And then it was like, oh, let's band together and make this late night show at Rafifi, 11 o'clock on Tuesdays. And I was dating this girl. I was 25, I
can't
think.
Believe that you remember 11 o'clock on Tuesdays. Like,
yeah.
That's weird to me.
Because it was so horrible.
I would never
I was like,
remember
fucking,
that.
What the fuck? But I was dating this girl who was 35, and I was 25. And it was just a bad, you know, she's a sweet person, and but it was, it's not going to work, you know? It didn't work. She worked for like, oh, shit, there's a fire.
I was trying to get away from it, but I went right into it.
And it always happens.
Well, this I pulled over to the right, but I'm not turning right.
Yeah, we pulled over
hurry
to the right
got a
because
to catch.
We obey the
got it.
We obey the traffic laws. So, anyway, this you know, my girlfriend, let's call her Christine, was
Was that a real name?
No.
What was her real name?
we can cut that out, Nolan. But Christine was you know, she was out and she was like, I'm coming to your show tonight. And I was like, oh, cool. Come to my show. So she comes to me and Zach's show and she has brought Sam fucking Shepard. And Sam,
by the way, I couldn't have been a bigger Sam Shepard fan at that time. I was watching True West like every month.
True West, John Malkovich, Gary Sinise, Cowboy Mouth. I was reading his plays.
Yeah.
I knew about like the Patti Smith thing. I knew about like he's friends with Bob Dylan. He's like, he's the coolest playwright, all this stuff. And he's in that astronaut movie, blah, blah, blah.
He's the Days of Heaven.
Just his playwright, his playwriting. I mean, it was really it for me. I was like, this guy is a fucking American hero, and he is clearly trying to fuck my girlfriend.
And so he comes into the show where we're literally doing a sketch where, like, we have VR glasses, and the whole point of the VR experience is that we get a blowjob from dinosaurs. So it's like, oh, this brontosaurus is sucking me in my dick. It's so good. That's stupid, stupid shit.
Yeah, I'm wasting everyone's time.
Yes.
And he's watched the entire show, and then Christine's like, hey, guess who came to the show? And I see Sam Shepard. I'm just like, is that Sam Shepard? Oh, my God. And then he basically saddles up to the bar with my girlfriend, okay? And I just am like, if I'm going to be cucked by anyone, it's Sam. I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to be as cool as I fucking can.
He could have beaten you up easily.
He could have beaten me up.
He's
clearly into my girlfriend, who is into him. I mean, how can you not? It's like a horrible situation. Because I'm just like, hey, man, Cowboy Mouth, True West, wow, you're the best. You know, like, what was it like to fucking... Yeah. And he's like, I loved your show. I don't know if you remember.
I remember.
Like, I love your show. You guys fucking are great, man. You do it. You do it right.
I remember he was like, I love that Brontosaurus blowjob sketch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
He was like, you're punk rock or whatever. And we were like, oh, my God. And then... And I remember Darren coming up to him and being like, and you and everyone just being like, hey, man, thank you. We respect you so much. Oh, my God. It's like midnight. And then we're all hanging out like, what's Sam Shepard going to do? And my girlfriend's like, she's like, yeah, I was at Frankie's and he was just at a table and his friend left. And then he, you know, bought me a glass of wine from across the room. And then he bought me another one. We started talking and we just got along. And so I brought him to the show. I told him I was going to my boyfriend's show. And he was like, just came to the show trying to fuck my girlfriend. And then after he hung out with us literally for like an hour, just trying to fuck my girlfriend, she did a thing that made us break up, which was she went outside. She was like, I'm not going to leave with him. I'm not going to leave with him, but he wants to talk to me outside. And I was please, please do not do this. Just say goodbye to him inside Rafifi. And I was just like, and you guys were there and I didn't want to like look like a fucking, like I was gay shit. Yeah. And so I was like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. Please, I was kind of like, do whatever you need to do. And I was like, this is a fucking crossroads. If you go with Sam Shepard, of course I'll understand it. You know, I'd probably fuck Sam Shepard. But, like, she went down the street, and I watched them, and I think I was there with John Gemberling, and he was like, Sam Shepard's going to fuck your girlfriend. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I saw them, and they didn't kiss or anything, but he, like, was definitely like, let's go back to my place. And she was like, no, I have to be normal and stuff. And then he left, and that, like, you know, a month later, we broke up, but I just couldn't... I was like, this is something I can get
if
over.
That's
of course she flirted with Sam Shepard. And I was just like, she made it weird. Like, she definitely made it weird. We got to break up.
All of that's valid.
Yeah.
Imagine, though, that's just a random Tuesday night for him when he was in his 60s.
Yeah, in his 60s. Very handsome.
Yeah.
Just like a legend going like, fuck this girl. Yeah, I'll go to the show.
Hot off his performance in Steel Magnolias.
Sure.
I know. For real. Just like a fucking legend.
So you guys know each other from back in those days.
Yeah.
Like, when we know each other from, like, where it was like, okay, wait, doing sketch comedy seems like a waste of time. And then it's like, oh, it is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to do other things.
Yeah.
Post being very excited about, like, doing live sketch, basically, I think we became friends more in that period. And so then you guys made that movie, and I was just like, wow. I never saw it.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I feel like I've... How do I say it? I don't know.
Well, I
had a different experience of that movie than Trevor did. I think he is much more like of a defender of that movie than I am. For a long time, I wore that movie around like an albatross. Right. I thought everybody thinks I'm a loser. You know, everyone's talking about me and how I made a bad movie and I'm never going to work again as a director.
Right.
Which is not true. You know,
that's the thing. Nobody saw it. We were all jealous you were making a movie.
Nobody saw it.
Everybody knew about it. And I was just like, okay, they're moving to Hollywood. Like, whatever, you know. And I was like, I knew it was a Playboy or whatever thing. And I was like, okay, well, they just use the things that you do to make a movie to make their movie.
Exactly.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the most valuable lesson I could have learned, where it's like, the movie was brought to us. You know, it was something I never would have been into. I even said no originally, but... you know, it was just the kind of thing where it's like, again, the path of least resistance. And I made that movie for the cynical reasons of I sure did want to be famous, you know, and this seemed like a quick route to that. And never mind that the subject matter was not good.
Well, you can always switch and be like, oh, no, I'm actually like, I got that done. But, you know, that was to get this done or something like
sure.
that. Like, you know, like. Really, make a good thing.
Hey, one for me, one for them. Right.
Right. When you only have one, you know.
Yeah.
And the lesson was, you know, care about what you're doing. Like, be passionate about it, or it's not going to be there. So, it took me a long time to be able to maneuver myself into a position where I was able to make something that I really did care about.
Right. And so you were an actor,
yeah.
And then you were, I don't know if you were directing commercial. What was your, because
I directed Whitest Kids with Trevor.
Right.
And then I didn't direct anything after that, you know. Then I just acted in a bunch of, like, NBC shows and a show for TBS called Wrecked.
Right.
With the great Brooke Dillman.
Yeah, with the great Brooke Dillman, who I adore to pieces.
Yes, me too.
I love her.
Yeah. Brian Sacca.
Brian Sacca, the best. I mean, we had a
everyone
great
on
cast.
That cast.
It was
great,
really a solid cast.
Yeah, nice guys.
And the Shipleys who created it are the best. They're great.
That's nice. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, Zach, did you ever live in that house on Wilton, I think it was?
I didn't, but I would hang out there a lot. Like, the Midnight House?
Yes.
Yeah, I would go there a lot.
Wait, which is the Midnight House?
Was that on
the old Colton Dunn house?
Or? No, he may have, like, lived there for a pocket. I doubt it. It was, like, Adomian lived there. Trevor never lived there.
He didn't?
No.
No, I remember that. I remember to go into Adomian.
I just remember, in my mind, it was always just like all like the young people at UCB, and then my good friend Joe Wagner, who's my age.
Who lived in the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Joe, you're living with all these like filthy 25-year-olds.
Yeah, but I think that he might have been the filthiest one. Yeah.
Did Fadum live there?
Yeah, Fadum.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I think he did, yeah.
Right, I remember this, yeah.
I just remember going to a party there, and Trevor was, like, the only other person there, because it was, like, 11:30, it hadn't started yet.
Right.
And there was this horrific, horrific screaming for your life coming from across the street, and we went over to investigate it.
Oh, wow.
It was Trevor, myself, and my friend Tom, and we got cursed at by... So what looked like business... It looked like a mafia sort of situation.
Well, I know that there were gangsters living next door to them.
This was across the street, and then they screamed at us and called us slurs, and...
I bet I could guess which ones.
Begins with an F.
Uh-huh.
And we went back, and Trevor was like... And that's why I thought he lived there. He's like, you guys, we can't do anything. Like, we live here. Maybe we talked about the guys who was living there. I'm like, well, I'm at least calling the cops. And I called the cops 4 times over 2 hours, and I was like... There's screaming going on. There's a man begging for his life. Okay, the screaming stopped. Now these guys have their shirts off, mafia style, like mopping down the driveway.
Oh, no.
Now a car came up, and they're putting plastic bags in the trunk of a car.
No, is that true?
I swear to God. All of this is true. And then, like, the fourth time I called, they're like, is this John? I'm like, yeah, forget it. I'm guessing the guy's dead. I'll see you next time I forget to wear my seatbelt.
You guys biffed it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Or they knew it was some sort of, you know, organized crime thing that they didn't want to touch.
Man,
wow, that's
guys,
wild.
Good LA. Lesson. Organized crime is everywhere.
Yeah.
Even in the heart of UCB neighborhood.
Yeah, Franklin even Village. Where UCB scumbags crashed.
This was a long time ago. Everything's fine now.
Nice. Everything's fine. He didn't die. He's fine.
I'm assuming he did, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, putting bloody clothes in a car to drive off.
Hopefully they don't open this case and subpoena you.
Hopefully they do. I'd love...
Wait, you'd love some
time
off. I'd
love to put these guys away.
Yeah.
There's something else I want to bring up from the old UCB cracked out days.
Yes. Yeah.
And it involves Mandzukas, who I know is a listener, so hopefully he'll hear this.
Shout out to Mandzukas.
He's so worried right now.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh.
About what you're going to say.
No, he's fine. So remember the Cracked Out wedding at UCB?
Yes, I
do. So Cracked Out was going to marry each other at UCB, this crazy show. And I think that the Whitest Kids had performed. We were doing our Aspen showcase there.
Right.
So I think we were there that day. And you and Brett were like, will you guys hang out and be part of our wedding? And we were like, of course. And you're like, here's the deal. Just be as crazy as possible. Like,
yeah.
When people are coming and sitting in, just be in the room and just be like lunatics.
Like aggressive,
like,
yeah.
Like, be aggressive and, like, just disruptive and be, like, a force of chaos. And I was like, absolutely. So we got, like, 40s malt liquor.
It's a recipe for a good show.
Yeah. And so I remember people were filing in and I, like, put on some weird accent. I was just, like, climbing over people and screaming and chugging this 40, and I didn't know, like, when to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And I remember the show had begun and we were still, like, being very loud and aggressive, and Mandzukas, you know, it was like his moment, and he was like center stage, he had a microphone, he was like delivering a monologue, and I remember I just walked up on stage with my 40 and I just poured it on his head.
Oh wow.
I just like dumped it right on top of his head.
Oh wow.
Oh no.
And not a great move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially him. Yeah, I think
knowing Jason
issues,
and so I poured it on his head, and I, by the way, did, I was drunk and gone in the zone,
right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing my thing, and like I never thought anything of it. Like the night ended, I was like, great show, really fun night, love you guys.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, I remember I saw Gelman and he was like, Mandzukas wants to fucking kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, why? He's like, because he poured a 40 on his head while he was, you know, doing his thing. I was like, oh. And it like, I can't believe that I had to like kind of do the math and be like, oh, I guess some people wouldn't like that. Oh,
right.
And
yeah.
So I was like, so like, oh no. But I never saw Mandzukas again for a long time. Cause like, we just don't run in the same circles, until I was at this like fancy party at Ari Emanuel's house. Mm-hmm. And like, this was like 10 years later. I remember it was like this, it was like an Oscar party. And I remember like Tarantino was there walking around in, like a FUBU jumpsuit and everyone else was like in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
It was like so weird. It was like one of those like, this is a crazy thing. But I saw Mandzukas there and I was like, I'm avoiding this guy. Like, I don't want to see him. And I went out to the valet and I'm like waiting for the valet, and then he came out and it was just the two of us waiting.
Oh
for
no.
Wow. And I was like, Jason, I was like, I'm sure you don't remember me at all. And he goes, I remember you. Okay. Well, I think I owe you like a really big apology. Maybe you don't remember this, but like I poured a 40 on your head at the Cracked Out wedding. He goes,
yeah.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
Like, I never forgot that. It was horrible.
Not letting you off the hook at all.
No.
Yeah.
Nor should he. It's totally fine.
But as clients of Ari Emanuel, I think we can agree.
We're brothers in that way. Yeah. And I was like, I'm really, really sorry. He's like, that's and he was like, that's cool, man. It's okay.
So he was cool about it, but
cool,
he definitely like remembered
he
it
definitely
salt
remembered
in a salty
it.
Way.
I don't. He handled it totally fine. He didn't do anything wrong. I'm not saying that. It's just it was so funny how like 10 years pass. I was like, hey man, you probably don't remember this.
Right. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And yeah, so
Jason, let us know if you're still upset.
Yeah. No, but I don't think he is, because I've seen him a couple times since then and it hasn't been weird. So
right.
I think we're all
good. I think you've done a lot of work on yourself and like you're sober. I think that's a drinking thing. Like that's
100% that was a drinking.
That's thing. Definitely like, oh, I was just, because I would get in that zone and do really stupid shit.
Yeah.
At on stage and off.
Yeah. Do you have, like, a long laundry list of, like, moments that you'll think back on in the shower and be like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh,
God, I have some horrifying stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
I definitely have some horrifying stuff and some, yeah, pretty dumb shit. It's mainly, like, going home with girls that you shouldn't do. Like, it's mainly just, like, bad choices.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. Like, why did I try and date this? Why did I think this would go well?
Yeah.
Why did I approach this person? I'm too young and inexperienced. Like, why did I say this to Sam Shepard, for example? There's definitely a laundry list.
Yeah.
We'd like to ask every guest this, Zach. What is your favorite?
Angela's Crest.
Oh, Angela's boom. Crest. Oh, shit. Angela's Crest. Yeah. That's, you know what? That's one of mine, too. It's great.
Although, you know, I hear, because I have motorcycles. I used to ride up there all the time, and I haven't. I actually, after Trevor died, I really haven't ridden my bike again, because I just don't want any forced errors in my life, and I feel like it's just...
Gotcha.
It's just
gotcha.
Not, it's not... It doesn't feel worth it at this point.
Right.
But I used to ride that all the time because from my house,
I could
get up to that... What's that restaurant up there at the top of it?
Yeah, there's like a little...
Yeah,
like
a diner, right?
I could get up there and have lunch and get back in like an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow,
and that would just be like the best... Like if I was riding, that would be like the ultimate like...
Break.
Like, clear my head, take a break.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it's so fun to go up that windy road.
It's the best. But I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I heard that someone dies on that road once a week.
Yeah, and you can see them.
Whoa.
The choppers come... It's so... That
yeah,
road
that
is
seems
so
like a lot.
Dangerous.
That does seem like a lot, but I have seen, like, accidents up there with my own eyes that were almost certainly fatal.
Oof.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Careful out there.
You know, I drove a similar drive from... There's an animal reserve, a wildlife reserve in Sylmar. That's wonderful. I recommend it. Just Google it. But from there, you can take... That's like where the 5 and the 2 meet.
Is that the animals that have broken, like the eagles with broken wings and like...
Yeah, they're being rehabilitated.
It's
not a zoo.
Broken animal zoo, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a sloth that fell out of a tree and can't live on its own.
Yeah, it's for poor kids that don't know the difference. Yeah, he's got a broken wing. Shut up, it's an eagle. Shut up.
But the drive from the 2 and where the 5 hits the 2, to all the way, you know, to... Glendale is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's
it's
really
not windy,
nice.
But it's just empty. And...
So what kind of motorcycles were you riding? We just had Alex Winter on, and he's a big motorcycle
guy. I'm not
guy.
Like as big of a motorcycle guy as he is. I have 2 Hondas. I have like a CM400, which is like a rat bike, like an old, just kind of, it looks like a Mad Max kind of a bike. It's cool. And then I have a CB1100, which is like a very powerful
1100 cc type
thing. That is powerful.
Wow.
The highest I ever had was 750.
Yeah.
And that moved me pretty well. And I got a couple pounds on you, Zach.
Hey. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like if you really open it up, it feels like it's yanking your arms.
Yeah. Wow.
This might be insulting to say this, but I have had 2 motorcycles in my life. I've sold them both. And now I scratch that itch with an e-bike. That looks, you know, like...
I have an e-bike. What do you have?
I have... It's the Ariel D Rider. It looks like the Super 72. It's like it's trying to be a Super 72, but it's a little beefier engine front and back.
Cool.
What do you have?
I have an Aventon 2.
And why do you need that engine front and back? Is it for your
ample carriage?
There you go.
Oh my God. I told you. I've listened to the podcast.
Zach Kreger officially.
You think I'm bluffing?
Better than Harry Wallner.
Officially better than Harry Wallner. He's another permanent shout out along with Jason Mantzoukas, Harry Wallner. We got to get Matt Ballard in there. And of course, my thirsty brother who can't stop asking to be shouted out, Matt Daly.
I'm starting to think Matt Daly's never once asked to be shouted out.
No, he actually has.
Okay.
And he was weird about it. But he's also the guy at Summer's Best 2 Weeks that was like, fuck this, I'm too punk. But then he got into it because it's just too fun. But I was up in the Angeles Crest and I ran into Jay Leno.
That makes sense. I can see that.
He was driving a supercar.
Sure.
And like 3 of the most insane, like little, just like 2 feet off the ground supercars.
I thought you were going to say the most insane little twinks in the car with him.
Yeah, just 2 twinks. And he was like, hey,
don't tell anybody about
super
this, okay?
Hot.
He was like, this is Brian.
and this
is David.
Keep this under wraps.
Yeah, keep these twinks under wraps. I'm about to dominate them in the out-of-doors. I ran up there, and he couldn't have been nicer.
Shout out
to Jay Leno. Hopefully he starts listening.
That's our dream.
Yeah, I'll do Toe John's. I got nothing to do. I got a show at Flappers at 7.
Himself.
Can I get out before the show?
Flappers.
We did a good club.
We did a show at Flappers.
It's a good club. I've seen many others.
Well, that's Jay's home
name.
Club.
Is it really?
Yeah, Burbank Flappers.
Wow. Wait, does he live in Burbank?
I think he just...
Maybe Toluca Lake.
That might be where his garage is. Jay Leno's garage. Where his amazing collection. So, you directed Barbarian. You also wrote it.
I also wrote it, yes.
Okay, so how did that come about? Was it... I'll tell you what I've heard about it.
Okay.
Is that you wrote it as a short... And then you were like, this is too good for... This works as a feature.
That's sort of true, yeah. I mean, I didn't sit down to write it as anything, right? I just sat down to write for fun, you know?
Yeah.
I for that one, I wrote it exclusively at night in my garage. And there's just a way, like, for me to just have fun, you know, like the way a little kid kind of colors with crayons. I just go in there and I like turn on this like really sinister ambient music, and I turn the lights like green and red, so it just felt terrible in there.
Yeah.
And then I would just like just start typing, you know, with no game plan, honestly. And
great.
So the first half of the movie, for people who have seen it, the first half of the movie is very different than the second half. And so I just kind of was writing the first half, just totally like, you know, following my nose. Stephen King has this wonderful metaphor analogy. I actually don't know the difference. What's the difference between a metaphor and an analogy?
An analogy is like this, and a metaphor is like this is a stand-in for this spiritually.
This okay. is a van from hell.
All right, so. Is a metaphor? Okay. So an analogy. Stephen King makes a great analogy where he's like, you as a writer are a paleontologist unearthing a dinosaur one bone at a time, and you don't know what the dinosaur is.
Wow.
And I think that's so inspiring. So that's how I wrote that. You know, I'm just kind of following this, that's literally great. Knowing nothing about anything forwards in the story, you know? And so there's a big twist in the middle of that movie that I did not know was going to happen until I actually wrote that in.
Interesting.
And then when that happened, I was like, okay, this feels like a fun, weird thing. Well, but it's only 45 pages, so I guess
when you wrote the first...
It.
So, okay, so, sorry, 45 pages.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, all right. And I honestly can't remember, like, if I continued that night or the next day, but I was like... I had kind of a flash of how to write the photo negative of that 45 pages. Like, the first 45 pages is about a woman who's, like, hyper-analytic and hyper-categorical in terms of the behavior of the person she's with and trying to decode whether or not this person is a predator or harmless. And so the inverse of that would be an ignorant, myopic predator. And I was like, if I can follow that character... And create the photo negative of the first half and make these two characters connect in the beginning of the third act, then I have a movie. I kind of had, like, that all came to me in a flash. And I was like, okay, I know.
That's how it felt to me.
Yeah.
As soon as, and I watched that movie without knowing that you had done it.
Oh, really?
Because it was recommended.
Are you kidding?
Some horror person, Ben David, shout out to Ben David Grabinski, he was like, everyone has to see Barbarian right now. And I was like, let's see Barbarian. And I went to see it, and he was like, Zach Craig are so good, right? And I was like, what? Zach Gregor? Oh, my God.
I hate him.
Fuck that guy. I'm jealous again. No, but that's the first thing we talked about is, like, God, that must have all just, like, splayed itself out in front of him. Like,
yeah.
Like, that was just so interesting.
Yeah, it's...
And the fact that he's a predator, not to spoil it, but
sure.
He's kept as a likable person throughout the film. And somebody that you're almost like... He's a bumbling guy. Maybe it's so that he's kind of a bit bumbling and, like, he's on his last, he's desperate, he's canceled, and...
That's kind of the miracle of Justin Long. He's just such a likable guy. You know,
right.
And he was not my first impulse to cast. I've talked about this before. I hope it doesn't hurt his feelings, but I originally offered that to Zac Efron, and I was thinking of someone like that alpha, buff actor kind of a guy.
Right,
and he passed on it, and... And then I just had, like, a reimagining of that role, and I was like, I need Tom Hanks. I don't need Zac Efron. I need, like, the most disarming, non-threatening dude. Because that's what I feel like is more chilling as a sexual predator, is someone who is like, no one's going to believe you. You know, if you're like, Tom Hanks did this horrible thing to me, people would be like, that Tom Hanks? I don't think so.
Right,
and
right.
I was like, I need Justin.
That's incredible.
I'm so glad that he said yes.
Yeah, because he just keeps it alive. He's so good.
He's also so funny, dude.
Yeah.
He's so fucking
and a
good.
Delightful person.
Oh my God, he's such a...
He's fun to get watch good get
guy.
Drag me to hell. Like, it's fun to watch get tortured, I guess. Is that something? Yeah.
Yeah.
And man, that it was just so good. It all worked and fucking was just one of my favorite fucking... I mean, I don't know why I said it all worked. I just think it's dope.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
But,
so
cool.
I'm gearing up for the next one now. And,
cool.
It's very different. It's much more ambitious.
Now, is this a completely new idea?
Uh-huh.
Or is it Barbarian 2?
No, I'm not going to do Barbarian 2.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Can he do it?
Yes. Can I do Barbarian too?
Yes, absolutely.
Where can one watch Barbarian?
Well, you know, it's so fucked. Like, it's not on any of the streamers. You can rent it on Amazon or on iTunes, but it's not.
There you go.
It was on Hulu and it was on Max. But you know how the things go? Different mergers and all the and
of course.
You know, libraries get blah blah blah. So you can rent it, but you can't
And I will. My wife loves horror films.
Oh, please watch it.
Yeah, we will.
I'll watch it with it. It's funny. It's she not
it's not also like, it's not just a horror film. It's like
of course.
You'll love it. You'll love it. It's it's so good.
I have a funny little Justin Long anecdote.
Oh, tell me.
Please.
I used to see him all the time, like years and years ago. Like, I would just bump into him, like, at La Poubelle or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we'd have mutual friends, and he's, a, like I said, a delightful, lovely man. And he would tell a story that his father would, like, email him or text him with, like, not great news and end it with LOL. So it was like, you know, grandma's not, give me a call, grandma's not doing so well, LOL.
Oh,
Dad.
No.
Oh, no.
He thought him in lots of love?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. I have not heard that, but that's so funny.
It makes sense, you know, like for, I'm assuming, you know, his dad's a
little bit older. What would LMFAO be in that? How could you repurpose that? Love more than,
love more
fully,
friends.
Always, oh, I don't know.
LMFAO would be like wiggle, 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 wiggle. I work out! Wow, that's funny. At some point, did LOL mean... lots of love?
No, I think it always meant laugh out loud.
Yeah, but I mean, that it all came about at a time where we were all learning it together, so I can imagine an older person, not that he's that old, but he's going to be, you know...
Yeah.
Figuring it out.
Yeah. Justin Long, easy. Please come on the podcast.
He's got his own podcast.
Or don't.
Or don't? <I'm> just, what the fuck?
If you pressure him...
No, that's fine. That's fine.
We want to make him want us.
Oh, yeah, right.
Whatever, dude. We don't know.
Hey, man, want us. Be interested in this.
Justin, I'm the tall guy who you used to talk to at La Poubelle.
So, John, do you remember where you and I met?
I was trying to figure it out, and
I know.
No.
Okay.
It's either through Sarah or Kulop and Scott.
I don't know Kulop and Scott. I know Scott a little bit just because I did his podcast recently, but I met you and Scott at the same time. It was at Sarah's apartment. We were watching the Oscars. It was the year James Franco hosted. So it was like you, Zach, Ben Schwartz, Chelsea Peretti, me, Sarah, Scott.
Yes.
And Maria Thayer.
And how did you know Sarah at that point?
Through Chelsea. I didn't really know Sarah. That was like my first time meeting her. And it was one of those times, that was before I was sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of those like in the shower, like, oh God, Zach, no. Like I got kind of drunk and Sarah's so friendly that like, you know, you feel immediately disarmed and comfortable. And I remember it was the night of the Oscars. So she had to go to the Vanity Fair party and I lived across the street at that time. This was on Holloway. So I lived in the apartment literally across the street. I'm not doxing her, right? Because she moved. Right?
She moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I could drive you. She was like trying to figure out how to get there. I was like, I live right here. My car is right here. I'll drive you. And she was like politely like, no, I can figure it out. And I was like, I really don't mind. I'm happy to drive. It was just like one of those like drunken.
Right.
And I think really I was like, it would be so cool if I could drive Sarah Silverman to the Vanity Fair park. You know, it's just like, God, Zach, shut the fuck up. Like, read the room, know your lane.
your lane is driver.
your lane is not to be the driver of this person you just met. Like, shut up. And I'm sure it's one of those things that no one has ever thought about since, but it needles me. You know?
Sure.
Right. Wow.
Well, it's funny. Like,
you put yourself out there. That's nice.
that's a way to think about it. Yeah.
I would see you around a lot, and I don't have any memories of you being like out of, like over your skis, out of control.
Oh, that's good.
So sleep well.
You've never made a mistake.
And then here's what I feel bad about us, Zach.
Really?
Is, and I think you'll remember this. When I was co-creating a show with Sarah and Dan Sterling for Sarah to star in for NBC. And you auditioned.
Oh, I auditioned.
For the role of...
Oh, of Harris.
Yes. We were too stupid to change the name of the characters
when we auditioned. Yeah, you should have done
that. Because, like, everyone was like, why am I auditioning for Tig? Aren't you just going to hire Tig? It's like, we don't know.
I do remember. But it was actually kind of helpful because I knew going in, I was like, if the deal with Harris doesn't get made, which it will, you know, like, I can't imagine that, like, Harris is gonna, like, big dog these people and blow the
deal. No, but you could imagine, like,
I can imagine NBC the network saying he's never been like Harris.
He's never been a series regular.
Right, that's the only
Sure. But it kind of, for me, I do remember that. I never would have thought of it again if you hadn't brought it up, by the way. But
good.
I do remember,
I'm sure you have bigger issues than that horrible.
Boy, let me tell you. But I remember going into it thinking, like, this is not going to happen.
But no. I do want to apologize on behalf of Sarah, really, because it was her show.
You don't need to. We're square. That makes up for me offering to drive her to the Vanity Fair.
Yeah. You're going
to
run into her at the valet at some party, and she's going to be like, oh, I know who you are.
Yeah, you wanted to fucking me a drive me somewhere? You sick fuck.
It was weird. I had an Uber on the way.
It was weird.
You fucked up, bro. Wow. That's, yeah. We all fuck up in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah.
It's just part of the pageantry, right?
Man.
Yeah, it's the pageantry of life. Wow. Crazy.
Mind-blowing.
Here we are. We're approaching Sunset Boulevard. I think we're
passing
a little...
Passing Netflix. Is this Netflix?
This is Netflix. Yeah. Shout out to Netflix.
Right now to me?
Well, there's also
because
the one...
Because you're not Netflix. I'm thinking of the one that one.
That's the one that we picketed, but this one is also Netflix.
It's the same architecture.
I was going to say, maybe you're used to seeing it with a picket sign in your... Oh. With the fucking striking
sign. And I was mad at this building for the longest time. Like, they would just shut down this lane, and you couldn't get past it. So
when the strike was happening?
No, before that. Like, when they were building the building.
Oh, God.
So I've always meant to egg it, but then I, you know, had kids.
Yeah.
Grew up a little.
Guys, speaking of eggs, this is crazy. A chicken just appeared in my yard.
What?
And my partner found it, and she was like, there's a chicken. And she sent me this picture. And it's a beautiful, like, designer-ass chicken.
Wow.
Like, marbled, black and marbled with white. Like, one of those beautiful chickens.
You must have a neighbor that
I must have. Yeah, clearly have a neighbor that kept chickens, but this thing walked onto our like front gate. It just planted itself there, and then we had a chicken for like 2 days. Slept in our garage. Ended up having laying an egg in our yard.
Wow!
And then we gave it to our friend Andrew Weinberg, and his kids love it, and they're gonna get more chickens because chickens apparently can't be alone. They have to have like...
Oh, are they social?
Well, I think they get, like, a little suicidal, weirdly. Like, they start pecking themselves and shit.
Whoa.
They need social, even
That's
though they
terrible
don't...
terrible to hear. My daughter's preschool started with 3 chickens. They're down to 1 now, and it's been 1 for a long time.
Oh, no. I hope it doesn't commit suicide. But it's good. They want to be around people, too. Like, they're not very, like, you know, they're not going to snuggle you, but it was like...
They're truly domesticated.
Right. They're, like, hanging around your
But you
your
didn't
feet.
Try to find the owner? You didn't, like, put up...
Oh, no, we did.
Door. Oh, you
we
did.
Put a next-door thing up. We had Jason Walliner put a next-door thing up, and people's responses made me never, ever want to be on next-door.
Just eat it, dude.
Oh, I was on next-door for, like, 2 days. And I was I hate everyone around me.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
The things people are saying on this, I never want to run into someone that would say... They'd be like, I want this chicken. How do I go about getting it? And, like... And, like, someone, like, you'll abuse it. This person wants it. He's going to eat it. And all this stuff. And animal rights people.
Yeah.
Man, next door is a bad scene,
it's,
dude.
It's terrible. It's truly terrible.
Yeah, it just makes you hate your neighbors. Yeah.
I mean, when I first signed up for it 15 years ago, it was basically the equivalent of, there's a black guy walking down the street. And I was like, yeah?
Yeah.
And?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, for the 2 days that I was on it, there was like a big conversation about the homeless encampment on Vermont and Hollywood, you know, that like little park there.
Yes.
And people were like, what are we going to do? And then it was a war of people who were like,
right,
how dare you?
Yes.
You know, like, what do you mean? What are we going to do? You piece of shit. And it was like, it was so bad. And I was like, I don't need this.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It is fun to kind of troll people who are, I'll just say it, Karens around there. Yeah. And just like kind of take the wind out of their sails or the air out of their tires, literally.
Do you think there will be a moment where, like, there will be editorials written where they'll be like, it's time to retire the word Karen. It's pejorative.
Yes.
It's derogative.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
I'm sure
that only a Karen would write that article.
I do feel bad for my friends named Karen.
Yeah, I do too.
I do, yeah. It sucks. It's a really charged name, especially now. And kids say it like, hey, Karen, like...
Right, it's replaced okay, boomer.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
I kind of love it. I'm kind of all about it.
Well, you're a Karen, right? You love to yell at baristas. Yeah.
We all have a little Karen, yeah. If we're being honest.
Yeah. We're all a little, like a white supremacist woman. Is that what Karen's are?
So, like, John, do you live really close to me?
I do, if you want to... But, Zach, yeah, we should... If we do live close to each other, we should be more friends.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in forever.
We're so glad we got you.
Yeah, it's probably been over a decade.
Yeah. So
before Blood on the Clock Tower, Zach, I ran into you at a show where you had cattle prods.
What?
And you were cattle prodding people on stage. It was like James Pumphrey?
No.
No?
That must have been Trevor.
You weren't doing that? Okay. Maybe it was Trevor. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not like a big fan of the prop comedy stuff.
Well, it was like torture. It was like... make us laugh or we'll shock you. But
I was not part of that.
Okay, never
mind. The last time I remember seeing you before Clock Tower, well, I ran into you with Moshe. We were walking the res and we hung out.
Oh, right, that's right.
There's been a handful of times I've seen you, but
which
one time...
Res? Silver
Lake res. Right. But one time I remember we were doing a game night at... Not Eric Andre's house, but, like, right next to Eric. Michael Spall David had that house.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Okay.
And we were doing, like, running charades or something.
Right. I remember that.
And it's funny. I remember that really well because I was having a conversation with you about alcohol. This was before I got sober. And I remember saying something to you, like, I do feel like my alcohol consumption is beginning to affect relationships. And you were like, well... Sounds like you should probably take a look at that.
Oh, no. That was my tone?
No, okay. No.
That's a pretty good impression, actually.
Why don't you fucking kill yourself? Stop drinking, idiot.
It was one of those, like, little flags, you know what I mean? That was, like, kind of lining the road on the way for me getting my shit together.
Oh, that's so good.
That was a good thing. It was a good moment.
It seems like I wouldn't have said that if you weren't... clearly thinking about it.
Yeah, like, sure. And the fact that, like, you're one of those guys that, like, is so easy to have those kinds of conversations with is a good sign.
It's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing to talk about, and I'm very open about it, and so I invite people to talk about it. And you were already saying something like, hey, man, my life has a big red flag. While we were playing...
While you're trying
to act out the name of a movie.
I was also, like, bleeding out of my face because I've been falling 3 times. No, joking.
Where are you going now? You don't have to dox your movie location.
Oh, that's okay. It's in Atlanta.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah. Cool.
Where my wife's from.
Oh, really?
Okay. Hot Atlanta, some people call it.
Oh, okay. I'll remember that.
Okay, well, when I'm in Atlanta, can we hang out?
Yeah, are you going to be there?
I might, yeah.
Yeah, of course, man. Okay. I'll be there from mid-March until the end of July.
Okay,
and then I'm going to New York. We're doing the edit in New York, so I'm in New York for the rest
of the
year.
Oh, okay, wow.
Which will be interesting, yeah. What were you saying I should what?
Fox Brothers Barbecue in Atlanta.
Is that the spot?
That's the spot.
That's like the Franklin's of Atlanta. Okay.
And then if you want chicken wings.
I love chicken wings.
Their version of the rustic is Moe's and Joe's in the Virginia Island.
Okay. So really quick, can we talk about wings for a second? Because I know you guys have talked about this on the podcast.
We can take forever.
Rustic is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have time. So whatever you... But rustic is definitely the best. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I've been fucking around with Wing Street, and then I got kind of burned with them recently. I was like, I don't think I'm doing this
anymore. Yeah, I've never trusted them.
And Wingstop, it's like, okay. Yeah. What else is there?
Well, there's hot wings.
I just
wings.
Got into wings this year.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I was kind of averse to it before.
Maybe hot ones got you into it? The hot ones?
I can't get enough hot ones.
Yeah,
Hot Wings Cafe on Melrose has always been solid, but a year ago Super Bowl I got some, and they were just a little skinny.
Hot Wings?
On Melrose Cafe, yeah.
All right.
It's hard to beat the rustic.
Rustic is the best. The only problem with the rustic is I don't want to go in there.
Right.
It's dark and scary.
And they're rarely on, like, a food delivery. Like, it's kind of arbitrary when they are and are not available for delivery.
No, it's good for, like, oh, I'm going to have 5 friends over to watch basketball or whatever, and then just go pick them up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a dark bar.
And, yes, for a sober guy, that's not...
I'm not, like, bar-averse. It's just, like,
that bar-averse.
No, I don't need to have...
it's sad.
I don't love TVs in bars. I've always had an issue. If I walk into a bar and there's, like, screens around, I'm like, this is not for me.
Right.
I went in there once.
I was when I was a drinker, I would drink at the drawing room. I would not drink at the rustic.
Right. Yeah, that's...
That's my speed.
That's heavy.
I like that, like... Someone in here is going to die tonight.
Yeah, there was a lot of darkness in that place.
Yeah.
One time I went to the rustic. I'm an idiot, right?
I don't.
Okay. Well, I mean, my license plates should tip it. But someone new who knows me gave me something that looks like a key fob, but the button would turn off any TV.
Yeah. Wait, is that my key fob?
Yeah. This,
oh, okay. Sorry. I really was going to get out of the car. And not
surprise.
No, like, we have the same key fob.
So you could just, like, I was sitting at the bar with my friend, John Hamm, and...
Name drop.
Which bar?
The Rustic.
The Rustic. Okay,
and we're sorry. Sitting at the end of the bar, so there's those high tables behind us and TVs, and it's like March Madness.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just a dick, and I'm just like, bloop, and it goes off, and everyone's like, oh! And everyone's like blaming these poor guys who are like sitting. This is like 15 years ago. I was only 38.
Yeah, this is amazing.
I love this.
And it happened so really much. Great. And yeah, and Ham was just eating it up. He loved it as much as I did. Yeah. It was just ridiculous.
Wait, but it would only turn off one TV at a time or all the TVs?
You'd have to be within like 6 feet of it.
Okay.
So it didn't turn off all the TVs, but...
That's good.
Yeah. Oh,
that reminds me, we were at a party in Queens like a long, long time ago. It was a huge rave. And it was like packed, and I'm like 500 people in this room going fucking crazy. And I was there with Sean O'Connor when he was back in his wild days.
Yeah.
And we saw like the DJ booth, you know, we're kind of out near it, and we saw there's an extension cord. There's one extension cord that was doing all of the work.
Oh my
and
God.
Sean just went over and just like unplugged it.
Oh,
and
man.
It killed like the lights and the music, and like the room was like, ah, you could just feel the roar. And we were like sobbing, laughing. It took the DJ like 10 minutes to figure out what was wrong.
Wow.
Finally plugs it back in, starts, it like ruined the mood hard. And as soon as they get it, we waited like 5 more minutes for it to get back up, and he just went over and just did it again.
Whoa.
And I was like, you are the greatest.
Shout out to Sean O'Connor.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
Oh God,
wow.
Yeah.
I just love stupidity.
Yeah,
good work.
All right, guys. Well, this has been the best.
Thank you so much for doing
really
this.
I'm
so glad we caught you before you left.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And
I really love it.
I hope
it.
We can play Clock Tower again maybe before you leave.
Yeah, I would love that.
And yeah, thanks for Zach Krager, ladies and gentlemen.
Huzzah!
Yeah!
All right, thank you, guys.
Awesome, dude. Hell yeah.
All right, well, thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
To send you a thank you gift, would it be this address or the other one?
Do the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to like it.
You don't. Yeah, so you don't have to send me anything.
But it's fun.
It's so good to see you, man.
So good to see you.
I'm gonna email you my number, and yeah. I am around, and I would love to.